Welcome to What a Scream, the horror movie podcast where I, your host, Green, chats with a guest every episode about horror films. And we discuss two films that have to do with a certain topic that I've previously, most of the time randomly, chosen. This week we are getting into the festive fear spirit, and myself and Ruby Noir are back at it again, talking about Christmas horror films. This year we are talking about Silent Night, Deadly Night from 1984, as well as Christmas Bloody Christmas from 2022. It takes a bit of a turn this year. Usually it's Ruby enjoying the silliness, whereas we've kind of traded places this year, and I am the one indulging in my silly side. So yeah, enjoy this episode about some Christmas horror.
So I would like to welcome back to What a Scream for our annual Christmas episode full of such fervent joy. It is Ruby Noir. Hello, Ruby.
Hello. Yes, I'm back and as unqualified as ever. except for the fact that I quite enjoy Christmas.
That is the only qualification needed.
That is, yeah. Unfortunately, we're not able to recreate our annual drinking sesh on pod, but
we
are here to celebrate Christmas.
I am drinking a cup of winter tea, whatever that is.
I have a pre-mix or like an instant chai tea latte mix that I get from Sostrin and Green, which feels very hygge. Hygge, isn't it? Hygge.
Hygge, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're both quite sober and probably both quite tired.
Yeah. We are both very sober and very tired.
And very done with this year.
Oh, man, this year has been wild. It's been very upsy-densy for me. I can't speak for anyone else, but, like, it's been great. And obviously, like, we are in, for reference, when people are listening to this, it's, like, what, 4 days after Dublin got set on fire by a bunch of maniacs as well, so...
Yeah, it's definitely it's been a definitely hard time to try and get into the Christmas cheer.
Yeah, I was driving through town on the weekend and it was so quiet and I was like, it's 5 weeks to Christmas and it's a Saturday and it was a ghost town. Yeah. I was like,
Yeah.
My Christmas has been distinctly unsheared.
Yes, I have done all my Christmas shopping because I'm one of those people that does it online or does it in September.
That is smart. Very smart. I am not one of those people, unfortunately. I have great plans in September, but do I get around to them until December? Not a chance. And I have to ask, I feel like I this is a redundant question somewhat for you, but are you a Christmas gay or are you a Halloween gay?
I don't know. Because I guess at the moment I'm more a Halloween gay, but I think that's just because I haven't been able to reach my true Christmas potential.
That's fair.
I feel like if we had our own house, I'd go full on.
You'd go full Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm averse. I'm a festive bisexual. I'm a real bisexual and a festive bisexual.
Same.
I feel like it is fun though. A lot of the queer community divide themselves into Christmas and Halloween gays. I'm like, why not both?
I have really been trying this year to like in therapy, I was saying how I felt like I couldn't listen to Christmas music because like I just don't feel it. And she's like, maybe you need to listen to Christmas music in order to feel it. And I was like, oh my God, profound. Not that that's like the, I sound like such a twat. Not that that's the depths of my therapy. It's not like I go to therapy to talk about Christmas. Like
mind blown.
There are a lot of other issues. I have far more issues.
You want to feel the spirit of Christmas? You've got to feel the spirit of Christmas. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's quite relevant actually to one of the films we're going to talk about though.
Right. right? So yes, I've also been really trying to watch a lot of Christmas films, and I was on a podcast this morning talking about Die Hard, and I have just
a classic.
Putting all the effort in to watch Christmas films, including like the silly little Mickey Mouse ones as well that are on Disney.
Oh, well, I'm on record, possibly even on this podcast, as saying that the unequivocally the best Christmas movie ever is A Muppet's Christmas Carol. And I will brook no argument with anyone.
I am kind of on the fence of Die Hard being the best Christmas film ever, or one of the films that we're talking about today being the best Christmas film ever.
Interesting. Yeah, because we were talking about this just before we started recording. All right, the roles have been reversed. Usually I'm the one going, yay, stupid movies. And apparently the roles have been reversed today, which is going to be interesting.
Yes, I feel like I've hit my, you know, this is my peak Christmas watching.
Your peak Christmas. That is excellent. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, so let's get started. I didn't ask you this before we came on air, so I guess I'm just going to throw in the deep end. Which one do you want to introduce?
Let's go chronologically. I'll do unless you have a strong favorite, I'll do Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Go for it.
Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there.
So Silent Night, Deadly Night is a 1984 American slasher. It's directed by Charles E. Sellier Jr., screenplay by Michael Hickey, and it stars, I'm going to murder the pronunciation of these names, Lillian Chauvin, Gilmer McCormick, Tony Nero, Robert Brian Wilson, amongst others. So it opens with a shitty Santa holding up a convenience store and killing the clerk for like nothing, literally not just being a wise ass. I don't know how you feel about trigger warnings, but I feel just before we get super into it, like this is literally every trigger warning under the sun. So
every trigger warning you could think of.
Yeah. Then we switch over to Billy and his family, 5-year-old Billy and his family, or sorry, 8-year-old Billy and his little, no, five. I'm getting confused. Ignore me. Put this bit out. 5-year-old Billy and his family, who are on the car on the way to visit grandpa, who it turns out is in a mental institution. I'm pretty sure that's it. Just says Utah mental institution on the front of the building. His parents and his baby brother go off to talk to the doctor, and his grandpa wakes up from his catatonic stupor and tells him how Santa's gonna get him, scares the shit out of him. They hop back in the car. I also, much like young Billy, I question the logic of his parents taking their two young children on this particular road trip on Christmas Eve.
I mean, talk about shitty 80s parenting.
Seriously. So anyway, then a previous shitty Santa who we saw murdering a convenience store worker pulls them over to try and carjack them. They try and speed away. The dad gets shot. Then the mum gets pulled out of the car. He tries to rape her, and then she gets a bit shirty because of the rape. And so he murders her, and Billy sees all of this. Cut to several years later in the next sort of overarching triggering theme of Catholic institution.
Just that
and Billy is being forced to partake of festive cheer, even though he witnessed the murder of his parents and attempted rape of his mother by a Santa Claus. And so the horrible Catholic nuns are forcing him to like sit on Santa's knee and stuff. And there's lots of caning and, you know, your average sort of mid-70s, 80s Catholic institution affairs. Someone, I'm not sure who, was it another like orphan, like an older teen orphan? Was it a nun is caught shagging someone? Very unclear what happened there. Anyway, none of it's very nice. Fast forward again to when Billy is 18 and or possibly slightly younger, and one of the sisters, the nice one, gets him a job in a local toy store, which seems like a great idea until Christmas, when, as we've seen, he has lots of trauma around Christmas. The mother superior was like, no, you don't have any trauma. He didn't see a thing. Where they got this assumption from, I do not know. It's decided at some point it's a good idea that he steps in to play Santa for the day, and he becomes evil Santa. He has a mental break and becomes Santa and just wanders around saying either naughty or punish. So there's like, it's like a body count of about 8 or 12. I like, honestly, after that, I got really bored. I thought everything up to that was like somewhat interesting. And then there's like, you know, there's a couple of good murders and then he gets caught. And then at the end, he's like, Santa's dead now. You're safe. He gets shot. Then another little child catches his crazy, and that's the end.
So this is the film that I think might be like my favorite Christmas film.
Really?
It's just so fucking stupid. And I'm not a fan of like 80s slashers all that much, but I can get behind this one. And I just, it's just ridiculous from start to finish. Like you said, like going to visit, you know, poor old grandpa on Christmas Eve, these poor kids, and then having this like, you know, murderer slash thief dress up as Santa, because sure, why would you not? You know, if you were trying to get away with something, why would you not wear the most inconspicuous?
Like, right. And like, if he was trying to like pickpocket people maybe in a city, I yeah. could believe it. But yeah, just like completely apropos of nothing, dressed up as Santa.
Yeah.
For fun, maybe to hide his face, maybe. And it's like, because like everyone's dressed up as Santa for the holidays. I mean, maybe there's some kind of weird logic in there, but it's never made too obvious.
Yeah. And then, you know, this poor boy has witnessed the most horrific thing that a child could ever possibly witness.
Awful.
Throw him in with the nuns, and the nuns are like, what trauma? What are you talking about? And it's trauma? Just like,
I don't know her.
It's just so bad. And like the mother superior is so evil, as like nuns probably fucking were, to be honest. But just this whole thing, like Santa murdered his family, so we're going to make him sit on Santa's knee. And you're like, oh, that's creepy beyond.
It's because like the mother superior seems to be of the opinion that forcing him to accept Christmas. Mm. And like, here's the thing is, I think the reason that I got a bit frustrated with this one is I actually thought there were some really interesting concepts in there, because there are loads of people who I know who really hate Christmas for very valid reasons. And the last thing I would want to do is like, you know, obviously there's no getting away from some of it, but you don't want to like enforce your own nonsense on people. Mm. And so there is kind of something genuinely interesting in there. But then when he became shitty monotone Santa, I just...
I think there's an interesting look at how trauma can affect A, future traumas, mm-hmm. B, sex and love paths, which is, it's kind of weird how they put in the that weird like sex scene where he catches someone having sex and...
Yeah, unclear as to who.
Yeah, and then they get punished. So he's obviously like, right, well, sex is bad. And like, especially seeing mom sexually assault, he's like, right, exactly, sex is bad. Yeah. But I just thought it was hilarious how the nice nun was like, you know what would be a great job? Toy shop.
Yeah.
You know what's never a great place? Christmas yeah. There. You know what's a great place for a guy with Santa trauma to go work in? Toy shop. There was no safeguard in here.
Yeah. Another one, like, look, I didn't absolutely hate this, but I did feel like it was on the nastier end of exploitation films of the time, and I didn't think it was quite clever enough to get away with them.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose that was my, like, I love some of those kinds of things, but I think they need to be a bit smarter to get away with some of the silliness, and I thought it was like almost there.
Yeah, I don't think there was any intelligence there to I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I loved the fucking halfway happy music. 80s.
The needle drops in this film. Yes, we must talk about them because they were hilarious.
it just goes into this almost like 80s family sitcom of him getting a job at the toy shop.
Well, he gets the job at the toy shop. This, what was it called? Like on the warm side of the door or something like that. It was wild. I was like, what is this? And they seem to have written and recorded like Christmas songs for it that were playing in the car at the beginning. And it was like, I'm scary happy with the love of Christmas. And I was like trying to put foreshadowing into the music, but doing it really badly.
Yeah, I
did think that was very funny. Like it was, because they were so obvious as well.
Yeah, yeah, and I love the, you know, like the fake montage laughter where it's like, oh you,
yeah. That was a delight. I will give you that. I was like, I did turn around at one point because I was kind of half doing something else, and so I looked away for a second. I turned around. I was like, have I just started watching a different movie?
But yeah, so he is forced into this role as Santa, and like there's this really awkward moment where a kid sits on his lap and he's like, shut the hell up, why won't you behave? And the mom is like, wow, he's so good with
kids. I know, because like we're seeing the close-up of him and he's like, Santa's gonna fucking kill you if you don't shut the hell up, kid. And so the kid stops crying, and then like from a couple of meters away the ma's like, he's so good with kids. He's got a real special touch with children.
Oh, and then so they close down for the night and they're having their Christmas drinks or whatever. And this is such a weird inclusion.
More sexual assault.
Right? Yeah. It's like, let's just, you know, add in this guy's like, I can't remember what her name is, Tammy. I've got a present for you, Tammy, in the back. And she's like, what is it? And he goes in there and like,
oh, I was literally shouting at the TV during this. I was like, it's your dick. It's his dick. It's his dick, Tammy. Don't go.
It's his a dick in a bow.
The present is his dick. And you do not want it.
No. So, what's his name? Is it Tossie? I can't even remember the character's names. Billy. Billy, yeah. Tommy, they're all the bleeding same. He follows them in and he witnesses her assault. And so he kills the guy, which you're like, yeah, okay, I can get behind that. And then he looks at her and he's like, punish, naughty. And like kills her with the box cutter. And you're like, wow. We are really laying it on thick with the 80s, like, you know, let's punish sex, whether it's in the form of like sexual assault or not.
Any kind of, yeah. And like, because I got that the sexual assault is like what triggered the memories and the sort of psychotic break within him. And that I didn't inherently object to. But the fact that he just became kind of he would just kill anyone, except for that one kid who he gave the box cutter to, which I thought was really funny as well. There was this one kid who was like, I've been very good. And he was like, okay, here, have a dangerous weapon, child.
I've just killed your babysitter in like one of the most horrific ways.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty good, now I have to say.
I liked that kill.
I
liked that kill where she's hung on the antlers. And I also really enjoyed, although I really enjoy, it's kind of sick and twisted, the two bullies that are sledding. And he, like, one of them's going down the hill and he just chops his head off and it just, that like, was good, rolls down the hill. I thought that was hilarious.
No, some solid creative kills. I will give it that. Some good bit of 80s gore. Because the psychological bit of it, I think, was so interesting that when it just turned into, like, a very relatively bog-standard slasher, I was just so disappointed.
Yeah, are you saying we needed like a Dr. Loomis in this?
Kind of. Like actually dig into it a little bit more. Like, you know, look, it's an 80s slasher. It's only going to dig in so deep.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting it to be like super insightful ultimately, especially when trauma equals psycho killer. Because we know that's not true. But, you know, if you're going to, like, if it's the idea of like forcing someone to constantly relive their trauma is going to, you know, like just a little bit more nuance, a little bit more nuance sprinkles on my slasher cake.
Yeah. And they only bring in law enforcement about 20 minutes from the end.
Yeah, that's also terrible.
And there's loads of like red herrings. There's this one guy climbing through his daughter's window dressed as Santa.
They burst into the room. I was like convinced they were going to shoot him. And they did. They were like, Dad, like comedy, ding ding ding, sting.
And one of the cops shoots the deaf priest.
I know. They were like, he didn't respond to demands to stop. They were like, but he was deaf.
I'm like, that was. He was like, I saw a Santa going towards a child, and they're like, that was Father O'Leary. He always plays Santa, but he didn't respond. Father O'Leary's deaf.
Yeah, just so intensely stupid. No, I'm not saying the film was not without its merits, but I think the exploitation side of it wasn't justified enough from my mind. And I think if you're going to throw a lot of stuff, a lot of heavy shit, like sexual assault into something, for me, you have to do a bit more to justify its presence. Now, that is sort of the exploitation genre by its nature. So I don't know if I'm asking too much of it, or maybe I just wasn't in the right headspace to watch something quite like that today. But
yeah.
I mean, I will always capitulate that. You know, you could, there's some days that like you can watch the same thing and love it. Another day you can hate it, just if you're in a bad mood.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed my watch of it. I just think there were so many stupid bits. Like there's one scene of carol singers, and there's this one girl doing her damn hardest to, I assume they were like lip syncing. And the way she's moving her head, like she is going off.
She is singing.
She is singing. And it just made me laugh out loud so hard. Yeah. Like,
you know what I wanted to know in all this though? Where was the little brother?
Right. So he got like a small little, like when they're in the orphanage, some guy's like, wow, your brother's a psycho. And he's like, shut up. And then that's it. He's gone.
Yeah. But like, according to the cast list, there was a 14-year-old Ricky Chapman.
Really?
Yeah, so he was in there somewhere. He wasn't also working. No, he wasn't the guy working in the toy shop. No.
No.
Yeah, so he just fucking disappears. Like, and did he see his older brother getting shot?
Oh, you know who it is. So you know the little kid at the end that looks at the mother superior and goes, naughty? That's his brother.
That's not him though, because he wasn't 14.
No, he definitely wasn't 14, but apparently that's who it's meant to be.
Really? Because in the in the cast list it says infant Ricky, 4-year-old Ricky, who's the one we see in the first flash forward to the convent orphanage.
Yeah.
And then 14-year-old Ricky.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh, that's so confusing.
It is, yeah. It's not very well explained. I take it you won't be watching the several sequels.
You know what? I'm genuinely curious as to what they entail. Is it his brother, I assume?
Maybe.
Goes on to...
Yeah, could be.
Goes on to kill them. Goes on to become Santa Killer 2.0.
Yeah, possibly.
I mean, you never know. I thought it was interesting as well. Obviously, this really iconic... this has nothing to do with the actual film, I suppose. There's really iconic art for this film, the Santa with the axe. Mm-hmm. But I watched it on Shudder and they had a completely different... cover image for it.
Okay.
It was like an illustrated one, Santa with like a sack, and it had like axe and stuff coming out of it.
Yeah.
But also coming out of it was a dead naked body of a woman.
Of course there was.
I was like, this one's new. This is interesting.
So apparently the sequel is about Ricky.
Yes, this does not surprise me.
Yeah.
How many Silent Night, Deadly Night films are there?
I think there's 4 and a remake. 4 or 5 and then a remake, so 6 altogether.
Was reading apparently people were horrified by this at the time and it was picketed. It was picketed, and Mickey Rooney was a vocal detractor of the film.
Oh, Mickey Rooney, the source of morality when it comes to
apparently
films.
They tricked him into being in Silent Night, Deadly Night 5. They filmed it under a different production title and then renamed it like it was like a sideways sequel, I think.
Right. Yeah.
And like it actually had very little to do with the original plot.
Did they tell him? How did I'm just like, I don't know how they tricked him. Did they tell him he could play an Asian man in it or something? Like, you know, was that? Yeah, it's really surprising because I was reading about the controversy and I thought it would be like about the Catholic Church.
Me too.
That was my first thought. But the fact people were like, but the children and Santa, it's like, why are you letting your children watch this?
Yeah. And it was hardly the first thing to do bad. Like, the bad Santa trope is such a trope now.
Yeah.
Like, it's been done a million times in various different forms, like both comedic and horror. And it was hardly the first time it had been done, surely. No,
there was a film in 1980. Let me find what it was called. Called Christmas Evil, that had this basically, all right, that basically had the same premise, but apparently this one got it bad when it came to
but it did also briefly outgross Nightmare on Elm Street for a hot second. So there was obviously enough interest in it. Sorry, just looking at the cover art for Christmas Evil, which is really funny. nothing to do with nothing. So it was like, so it had its own little sort of its own controversies, but did spin off a series, which I suppose almost everything did in the 80s. Was it a slasher film? Was there a potential opening for a sequel?
Yes. So I like, would you recommend this to horror fans? You sound a bit on the fence about it.
I am a bit on the fence. Do you know what? I think you really need to be in the mood for this particular kind of film. And if you are, then yes, it's a good bit of fun. Like, it's decently done. There's a decent bit of gore. I think there's better examples of this kind of film out there, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't say don't watch it.
Okay. You know what? I think it's because, you know what I follow, what this followed for me? I watched the 1999 version of The Haunting yesterday.
Oh my goodness. The one with like
Catherine Zeta-Jones. Yeah, Owen Wilson, so, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I do fucking love that movie, but not because it's good. There's something about, what's her name? Who plays the...
Lily Tomlinson.
Lily Tomlinson. I love her. No, yeah. It's not Lily Tomlinson.
No.
It's, who is it? I could watch her face until the end of time. Lily Taylor.
It was a Lily.
It was a Lily. Yes. No, I was like, that's definitely not Lily Tomlinson.
I don't even know who Lily Tomlinson is. I just said a name.
No, Lily Taylor, I love her face. I just love her as an actress or as an actor. And I just really, there's something about that film that just I just enjoy, even though it's fucking awful.
It is woeful. But you know what? I'd been put into that silly mood and I was like, right, we're going to follow this. And maybe it just set the tone for the evening. But I was like, I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, it is also a very, very silly film. Yeah, and maybe if I'd surrounded it by more silly films, but I watched it kind of in isolation. So,
yeah.
I also think I started watching it at like 10 a.m., which is a very strange time to watch that kind of thing.
I mean, I have been watching some films at like 10 a.m. that definitely should not be watched at 10 a.m. I watched Blue Velvet the other day at like 6 a.m.
Oh, no. Oh, God. I think I was like, do I need to be a bit drunk to watch that movie? I was like, no, I need to be very sober or else I get too freaked out. Oh, man. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, that is a performance that freaks me the fuck out no matter what. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I do. I would recommend this, but just to be like, watch this film because it's fucking hilarious. Yeah, it's topping my Christmas film list. Okay, let's move on to the next one then, which is equally as silly, but probably not as ridiculous, I don't think.
No.
So the next film we watched was Christmas Bloody Christmas, which was released last year.
The U.S. Defense Department has spent over $1 trillion on the most cutting-edge robot technology. Introducing RoboSanta Plus for the upcoming holiday season.
What are you gonna do this fine Christmas Eve?
I was potentially gonna go meet up with a dude.
I've blown him off twice already, so.
Come on, get a drink with your old pal, Robbie.
What's up with you two?
I just grabbed him a drink.
I talk her out of some Tinder trash.
You didn't talk me out of anything.
To Christmas!
Bah humbug.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
New animatronic state-of-the-art Santa Claus featured at our own TW Bonkers is now the subject of an international recall.
And it is about this record shop owner, and it's like a metal record shop, and her employee is shutting down for the night, and she's going to go on a Tinder date, and he's like, no, like, let's go drinking instead. So him and her go to this toy shop where this recalled Santa robot is still there And it's this line of Santa robots that was initially created by like the US Defense Department, but it's been like just not doing what it's meant to be. So it's meant to be recorded, but it's still in this toy shop. And her and her employee go off back home or back to the pub to like drink more, and they leave behind their two friends. And while their two friends are having sex, this robot Santa comes alive and brutally slays them. They go back to the house, and the robot Santa follows them and kills their neighbor, and she witnesses the child being murdered. The Santa sees her, and it's basically this chase across town between her and this robotic Santa. And so everyone was talking about this last year, and I was like, I'm not going to enjoy it. It sounds like Terminator. I don't like Terminator. But I actually really fucking enjoyed it. And I think just because it's so stupid, but it's so violent at the same time, that I just really like one of the first killings, like it's this guy getting an axe, like literally cut in twain. And I just,
yeah,
I thought it was great. What did you think of this film?
I honestly actually really hated it. I really hated it. Because I fucking hate, like, okay, look, the concept, like if you were to think, what would Ruby like to watch this Christmas? Killer Santa robot? Absolutely. Right up my street. I liked the premise. I liked the gore. I fucking hated the writing. The dialogue drove me. I hated all of these people. I was like, I cannot wait for this Santa to come to life. So he shuts them all up. None of them shut up. And they say, and here's the thing. You don't like movies of people talking in rooms, right?
Yeah.
This was nothing but people talking and saying literally fucking nothing. I was like, I know these people. These are the people who were mean to me when I told them I liked Carly Rae Jepsen one time. And I will fight for her, so no one texts me. But like, I was like, oh, I want them all to die, and I want them all to die quickly. And it took way too long for them to die. There was way too much talking about like how they definitely weren't going to have sex and how she definitely wasn't going to like boink her employee. Like, oh my God, they just drove me fucking insane. I really, really hated them. And like, while I thought it was really lean, which I appreciate, like it was really tight. It was kind of straight to the point, but there was little touches that I thought it could have used. Like, okay, it's military robot, but like, why is it doing what it's doing?
Yeah.
You know, it's faulty. Does it think that people are enemy combatants? Why is it using an axe? You know, it's like, are you telling me this thing can be shot at and pierced through with a prop sword, exploded, but it's not waterproof? Little things would have just helped me like get into the silliness a bit more. Like, it had a point of view camera, but there was no like target acquired stupid animation on it. It was just like your average shaky serial killer camera.
Right. Yeah.
None of it really made sense to me from like, it was like, if you're going to have a killer robot, make it be a bit more robot-y.
Yeah. So you're saying you needed more Terminator?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, they did the Terminator thing at the end, but I was like, why didn't you do that the entire rest of the time? Like, why are you only being a robot now? And then none of the... I hated everyone. I would like to say I did actually really think that the lead, Riley Dandy, I actually thought she was very good. Mm. But I just hated what she was saying and how she was saying
it. I feel like this could be completely wrong, but I feel like it felt like a lot of it was improvised. Like they were like, hey, let's talk about, you know, how these two may or may not have sex and how they're really into like bands and heavy metal. Let's have them riff off each other. But it just felt like there wasn't structure to it.
I completely agree. I felt like they put all of their budget into one explosion and that robot, and they didn't actually have any money to write it.
Right.
Well, it was written, produced, and directed by the same person, so I'm going to assume writing is not his forte. or like the fucking police were like, we don't believe you that it's a robot. And it's like, but it's been on the news that it was a robot that was out there. So how is this ridiculous? You know, there's like just little things like that that just drove me fucking insane. And because I hated them all so much and I just wanted them all to shush. Shush. Everyone shush.
I think that's why I enjoyed it, because they were all such annoying people. Like, even, I mean, I will say Graham Skipper. Is that his name? I think I'm saying his name wrong. I'm going to cut this out anyway. Yeah, it is Graham Skipper. Thank you. Graham Skipper is in it as Mike. and he's in it for about 5 seconds, and I kind of feel like he's the best character. He's the
husband. Only one giving even any purposeful dialogue. It was like the only good joke in the entire thing.
And I do love Graham Skipper. So, but yeah, I mean, I felt it was quite cathartic because I felt like the two characters, like this record store owner and the employee, they were all those people that are like, oh my God, you're into like Metallica's Black Album. You're not a real metal. You know, like
mainstream.
You're such a poser. That,
oh yeah, I fucking hated it. I think the thing is it didn't get to killing them quick enough. And then like, I thought that I particularly found the pacing at the very end very frustrating.
Okay.
I can't put my finger on why. I just found it very, I was like, how is this not over yet? It didn't feel like this huge climax. It just felt like it was too long to me.
Yeah.
And yeah, like it wasn't like it didn't feel good and cathartic to me in the way that like you get in some other ones where you have mean people who get killed. Like, I don't know why this is what's coming to mind. It's probably because we were talking about it relatively recently, but like Sleepaway Camp. Remember when the bitch, like the mean girl, gets killed? That was cathartic. This wasn't cathartic. This was just like, I just wanted them to be quiet.
Maybe because they're not meant to be mean. We just find them mean. Because we were those bullied nerds.
I mean, we're bullied nerds. So those people have been mean to us specifically. Yeah, you're meant to relate to them. They're supposed to be relatable is the thing. And I found them very unrelatable.
Yeah. But I will say I did enjoy it. I think I'm just, despite everything, I'm kind of like, I need a bit of ultra violence at the moment. I'm just like, yeah, ultra violence to people that I don't like and find annoying. so I think that kind of helps. But yeah, I totally get where you're coming from, where you're like, it wasn't developed, the dialogue was terrible. And yeah, it definitely, I mean, I think about even the end scene kind of annoyed me because it kind of felt like they were like, well, what else can we get her to do apart from crawl out onto the snow and laugh maniacally?
Yeah.
You know?
And like, I felt like there was like, you know, you didn't have to necessarily change much, even the scenes, but there was little bits of dialogue that could have helped tighten up the logic of the plot in places. But I think a lot of it was improv. That's definitely the vibe I got off it as well. If it wasn't improv, it's actually very impressive.
I can't say. I think there was talks of perhaps a sequel, but I can't really see it getting a sequel unless
maybe
they go deep into Santa Robots.
Yeah, which you would hate.
Yeah,
like, I don't know. It didn't grab me enough. I certainly don't think if there was a sequel, I wouldn't be running to watch it. I will give it this, though. I was very impressed that they gave her one just, like, great orgasm in the middle of it. And we're, like, very pro-cunnilingus. I was like, good for you guys.
I will say, so apparently, this originally started out as a remake of Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Really?
Yeah.
I can actually see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can see how some of the scenes might have been shot with that in mind. And then they were like halfway through, they were like, but what if he's a robot? Wouldn't that be hilarious?
That's literally what happened. So he was pitching the idea for a Silent Night, Deadly Night remake. But it was rejected because they were like, no.
We're done.
And then he was like, but what if it was a robot?
But what if Santa was a robot?
Yeah. So that's how this film came, which is quite funny, I think.
That is quite funny. Yeah, I definitely was watching it and I noticed the similarities of just the rampaging kind of quite like silent Santa.
Yeah.
So that I'm not terribly surprised.
So I take it you wouldn't recommend this to...
No, I would go Silent Night, Deadly Night over this personally. But I can see its merits and there's a lot of silly shit that I like. So yeah. I'm certainly not going to tell people to not watch it. If you think that a robot killer Santa is what you need this Christmas, then I would say give it a go for sure.
Yeah. Let's say like a mindless killer Santa because it really makes no sense.
Yeah. And also, look, both of these films are an hour 20, an hour 30. So they are nice, tight little movies. You're not going to spend too much time with them if you're not enjoying them.
Yeah.
If the idea of spending time with the Gen Z versions of the characters from High Fidelity is your idea of hell, then I wouldn't watch Christmas Bloody Christmas, because
that is,
because there is like 40 minutes of uninterrupted nonsense with them. It's 40 minutes before they start getting killed.
It is quite a while for like a film that is quite, you know, like hour and 20, hour and 30, whatever.
Though I do also think that this film made good use of music as well. I did like the soundtrack.
Same. So for anyone that hasn't listened to our previous episodes, what other Christmas horrors would you recommend for new listeners?
We are retreading some old ground, but it's Christmas, and half of Christmas is watching the same movies that you've watched before and enjoying them. So as I said before, I know it's not a horror. Well, I would argue it is horror adjacent, because ghosts, Muppets Christmas Carol, and Scrooged. I fucking love Scrooged. Gremlins, obviously, Nightmare Before Christmas. I mean, we've also done, like, we've discussed Black Christmas and stuff like that as well. Your classics, your Krampuses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say A Christmas Horror Story is quite good. I haven't seen Violent Night yet. Is that the one with David Harbour?
That's the one with David Harbour. I actually really enjoyed that, because I think that is also a very silly and hyper-violent one, but it has a kind of fun twist on the Santa.
Yeah.
The bad Santa kind of trope, which I really enjoyed. I think it's much like any of these. Your mileage may vary. But also it has John Leguizamo in it. And I fucking love John Leguizamo.
Yeah, I love him too. Yeah. There is one that's coming out soon, or has already been out by the time this episode goes out, called There's Something in the Barn, which is if you like creature features, it is about little, I think they're Norwegian Christmas gnomes.
Fabulous.
Yeah. And there is also another film that is doing the festival rounds at the moment, if anyone gets a chance, called Santa Stein, where a little boy accidentally kills Santa. And when he becomes an adult, he decides to bring him back and reincarnate him. But obviously, things aren't meant to be brought back from the dead. And so Santa goes on a killing rampage.
That both of those sound exactly like my kind of brand of Christmas. Oh, and I forgot to obviously mention one of my favorites, the zombie musical Christmas movie, Anna and the Apocalypse.
Yes, that, if you want to go listen to me be a Grinch about Christmas, go listen to that episode.
Yeah, Igraine really did not like Anna and the Apocalypse, but I will stand by. We stand a musical zombie movie.
But it's good, because I feel like we've already got next year's episode in the bag with Something in the Barn and Santa Stein.
Absolutely, yes. And if you manage to check out Violent Night in the next 12 months as well.
That's, you know what? I might just do it this Christmas. Yeah.
Well, if you are at the moment enjoying silly things, I would say you're primed to watch it. So do check it out and let me know what you think, because I thought the twist was a fun one. You see it coming, but it's fun.
Okay. I will do that. So thank you very much, Ruby, for coming on and dealing with my ridiculousness for this episode, when usually it's your ridiculousness I have to deal with.
I know. It's usually the other way around. So it's actually kind of nice to be the one being like, ah, no, come on, this is stupid.
And I hope you have a very Merry Christmas. A very scary Christmas.
A very Merry Christmas to you too, and to all those listening, a good night.